Jeremiah 32, 17, the Bible says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing, someone say nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. I come on behalf of heaven to preach to this house tonight. Today, not tonight. I won't be here tonight. I came to preach right now. Nothing is too hard for God. Father, I thank you for this house and this ministry. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. I ask you to use me for your glory today. Let everything we say bring glory to your name. And I ask that you would confirm your word with signs, miracles, and wonders. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What I am about to preach to you today, I feel that I have been commanded by heaven to preach this to every church that I go to until he tells me otherwise. So here's the genesis of the message. My son, Cole, normally travels with me on the weekends. Why he's not here today, I don't know, but I just called him out in public. Hallelujah. But Cole has been traveling with me, and I'm just keeping him close, trying to keep him close to the anointing and the fire, and just really wanting to make sure that he's with me as much as possible. And we were in the Knoxville airport in Tennessee flying to Denver, and we had lined up to scan our boarding passes when something not too spiritual happened to me. I realized that I had not downloaded anything to watch on the airplane. That's a 4.5-hour flight, and I'm spiritual, but I still need a little Netflix. Hallelujah. And so I'm scanning and scrolling through. I just want to be real with someone today. So I'm scrolling and scanning through my phone, trying to find something that I can download before we get on the plane so that I can watch it. And we're lining, and we're in the line. Cole's behind me. And in my spirit, I didn't hear it in the atmosphere. The ground didn't shake. The lights didn't flicker. But in my spirit, I believe I heard the Lord speak. And he said to me, Tony, nothing is too hard for God. Now, I might be on Netflix, but I'm real churchy. And it doesn't matter where I am. As soon as I heard that, I did a little Pentecostal shimmy. It hit me and I went backwards. And so Cole, because he's been traveling with me, you know, sometimes he's got to catch people. Sometimes he's got to help me pray for people. So he's just always close by me. And when I went, whoo, because I hit it. You know, when I went backwards, he dropped his backpack. It was getting ready to catch me. And he said out loud, he said, seriously, right now? If you knew my son, he can't hide the emotion. He can't hide what he's going through or how he feels. And so he is mortified and embarrassed. He's like, seriously, right now? Dad, we're in public. I'm like, shh. I mean, it hit me. And I mean, I get tipsy real early. Real easy. Yeah, real early too. I get tipsy real easy. And so I'm like, whoo. And he's like, Dad, seriously, people are watching. And I'm getting on the plane, and that word blessed me. It doesn't take much for me to get blessed. It just really blessed me. And so I'm like picking up my feet and just kind of, you know, and I scanned the boarding pass, and Cole's got his head down. He's put the hood of his hoodie back on his head, and he's just walking. He's like, Dad, for real, stop. Dad, please, please, wait till we get to the church or something. I mean, stop. The whole way down the jet bridge, I'm just kind of like almost marching, kind of like, you know, like Bishop Jakes in 1997. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm just kind of marching, and I get to my seat, and I did one of those where I didn't sit down real gently. I just kind of like got in the seat. And Cole has already taken his seat. He's just staring at me. He said, Dad, I swear to God, I'll change my seat. I'll move. I know you're not swear to God, but God's still working on Cole. I'll change my seat. Dad, stop it. People are watching us. Stop it. I said, whew. He's like, Dad, I will get. I mean, he sounds like he's already a dad. He's like, I will get off this airplane. And so I'm trying to regain my composure. I mean, that word really blessed me. But in the middle of the blessing, I remembered I still have something to watch on the plane. I'm like, oh, Lord, man, I got sober up here. I still go find something. And I open Instagram. And you know how Instagram feels like it knows you. And so the algorithms will feed you what it thinks you like. Well, Instagram knows that in this 43-year-old body lives an 83-year-old Pentecostal. And Instagram knows how I like my church. polyester suits, red carpet, tambourines, and hankies. Hallelujah. And so Instagram feeds me a lot of old church videos. And this particular time when I opened up Instagram, sitting on that plane from Knoxville to Denver, it was the Holy Convocation of the Church of God in Christ, 1995, Memphis, Tennessee. And there are dignitaries and prelates all around. Bishop Blake, Bishop Patterson are standing behind the presiding bishop at that time, whose name I can't remember. And it was one of those old pulpits. For those of you that remember the old church, it was one of those pulpits that had seven microphones. We used to have seven microphones because one was for the tape ministry, and one was for the radio ministry, and one was for those that were fancy enough to have a television ministry. Then you had the house, and I don't know what the other mic was for, but you had all these, and so back in those days, that's why the preachers used to have to sway, because you had to say it for every microphone so that everybody got the same message. And so I saw the video and I clicked because I already knew I was going to like what he said without even knowing, just by the color of the carpet. And I tuned in and the bishop leaned into the pulpit and he leans in and he says, "I want to tell someone." I hit all the mics, you know. "There is nothing too hard for God." And I said, "My God, I feel like you're trying to tell me something right now. That is the second time I've heard that. But I'm Pentecostal. Lord, I need confirmation. You said it in English, I need to hear it in good old Espanol." Hallelujah. You know how we are. God will speak something plainly and directly, and we say, "Well, I just need a confirmation. I just need a witness. Let me go check with my Facebook prophet. Sorry, I'm not going there today. Let me call my prayer partner, because I need confirmation." And so the Lord knows that Suarez needs confirmation. And so now I've moved on from Instagram to YouTube, waiting for my thing to download, and I'm trying to kill time, and I don't want to embarrass Cole, and I open up YouTube, and YouTube does that thing now where they play the videos without you hearing the video. That way they sucker you into clicking on the video. And this video that popped up on YouTube wasn't a preacher, it was a choir in choir robes. You remember choir robes? I miss choir robes. I'm just going to be honest with you. Choir robes are like the blood of Jesus. We never had to worry about what anyone wore to church because the robe covered it all. Hallelujah. And so I'm sorry, the holiness came out of me right now. But the choir singing, and you remember those, the robes with the sleeves, and how it's like having angels in the church, you know, when they would. And so the choir singing and they're clapping, and I'm like, "Ooh, I wonder what song." And I click on there. Would you believe what they were singing? They're clapping and they're singing, "There is nothing too hard for God, nothing too hard." I said, "Lord, I perceive that you want me to know there's nothing too hard for you." He said, "Tony, until I tell you different, every church you go to, every conference you attend, I want you to tell my people, remind my people in this season that there is nothing too hard for God." So I'm about to wrap up this sermon right now. Ladies and gentlemen of the Church Covington, on behalf of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he sent me from the hills of Tennessee to tell you today that in spite of what you're going through and what you've been fighting and what's come against you and what sickness and strife and calamity has come your way, God wants me to remind you that there is nothing too hard for God. If you believed it, you'd praise him right now, because you don't need another word. You don't need another promise. That's enough for you to stand on. I'm here to tell those that are sick tonight, there's nothing too hard for God. I don't care what's going on in your family. I don't care what's going on with your children. In fact, I don't care what's going on in this nation. There is nothing too hard for God. Someone praise him in the house today. He said, "I want my people convinced." Never got around to watching that movie on the way to Denver, because the Lord and I started having a talk. He said, "I want my people convinced that I can." And I said, "You can what?" He said, I can dot, dot, dot. I said, "I'm going to need a little more, Lord, for the notes, because I get nervous and then I start rambling." He said, "They'll be able to fill in the blanks." So I don't know what you need today, but God can. God can heal your body. God can fix your marriage. God can save your children. God can prosper you. God can give you new contracts and a raise and better jobs. God can prosper you. God can bless your home. I don't want to hear one person curse this nation one more time, because I'm here to tell you God can bless the nation. God can turn this thing around. God can unite us again. You say, but what about this? What about that? I can't explain all of that, but I can explain God. And the Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. And I just want to tell you again, if I haven't said it enough, that there is nothing too hard for God. I feel like praising him again right now. Now, I've had enough people come up to me and say, but you don't know me. So you're right. I don't know you, but I know your God. And I know that for your God, there's nothing that's too hard for him. People say, well, but preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know what you're going through, but I know what he did. And what he did trumps what you did. Hallelujah. I've had people come and say, pastor, I messed up too much. I did this and I'm just so embarrassed. This happened in my life and I just don't know if God could ever forgive me. I don't know if God could restore me. I don't know how to make something good come out of the mess. Well, I just want you to know you can't make anything good come out of the mess. But there's a God in heaven and his grace is sufficient for thee. And I want you to know that it might seem difficult. It might seem like restoration will never come and healing will never come. But I just want to remind you again, there is nothing too hard for God. There's not a sin that he can't forgive. There's not a sickness he can't heal. There's not a problem he can't solve. If he could open up the Red Sea for a few hundred thousand Israelites, what makes you think that he can't open a door in 2024 that no man can shut? Hallelujah. I just want to praise God. If he could send his only begotten son who died on the cross and took away the sins of the world, past, present, and future, what makes you think that the blood has lost its power? I want you to know there's still power in the name. There's power in the blood. And because of that, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing too hard for God. He said, I want my people convinced. Today is a graduation service. I know we got people to I saw it. Did I understand right? We're baptizing today. Hallelujah. And there's about 5-6 people on the list already. By the way, and I don't have any authority to say what I'm about to say. But if you're not on that list and you feel like God's calling you to the water of baptism, I wouldn't hesitate. I'd get in the line. Hallelujah. Why wait? Well, there's some stuff I need to fix in my life. If you could have fixed it on your own, you would have already done it. But watch what happens when they put the name on you. Watch what happens when you're buried with Christ. In fact, I'll tell you so that you already know the secret. The Bible says that when you're buried with Christ, old things pass away. That includes addictions and bad attitudes and strife and sin. That's buried. And the Bible says you come out a new creature. You might go in a loser, but you're coming out victorious. You might go in a drunk, but you're coming out drinking the new wine. You might go in addicted to the things of this world, but you come out addicted to Jesus. So if you've never been water baptized, I'd get in the line today and say, I want to be baptized as well. In fact, there's some of you that got baptized a long time ago and you don't remember your baptism, or a lot of life happened. You got in a conga line at a youth camp because everyone else was doing it. You said, yeah, I want to go swimming too. I think you're a candidate for rebaptism today. And I'm telling you that when that preacher speaks the word over you, I'm telling you something powerful happens in the waters of baptism. So I know there's 6, but I'm an evangelist and I'm just throwing out the reel. I'm just fishing right now because there might be a few more today that need to come. You say, well, preacher, but I know your butts, but I'm just reminding you that there's nothing too hard for God. He said, I want my people convinced. Today's a graduation service because I'm going to graduate. I'm here on behalf of the Lord to help graduate you from hopeful faith to expectant faith. Rather than take your petition to the Lord with fingers crossed. Hey, God, I really hope you can help me with this one. You're my last hope. I think I've told the story here before. I won't belabor the point. But I had left Chicago, moved to Virginia, believe it or not, 19 years ago. And my wife and I, we just had a baby, and we were starting a church. So we got married, had a baby, started a church all within 2.5 years. Don't recommend it. We were broke. We were struggling. And I remember there was a month we couldn't pay the mortgage. And I didn't know what to do. And I started praying. I said, oh, God, send someone to give us money. Oh, God, if you can move mountains, move on a family member. Lord, send someone, Lord, to give me money. I need money. Lord, send someone. And no one came. And it's now the last week of the month. And I, as you know, I've never been late. And I don't know what's going to happen. You know, in my head, they're going to come take the house. I'm going to be homeless with my wife and my baby. And I feel like a loser. And I'm told, oh, God, send someone. And that Sunday, I remember going to church. And like I'm not even kidding though. I put extra lotion on my hands. I'm like, Lord, someone today is going to give me money and I'm going to receive it. I'm at the back door doing every Christian salutation there is. I shook every hand. I hugged every neck. I kissed every baby. Praise the Lord. God bless you. The Lord be with thee and also with thee. And I got nothing. And here comes this man named Brother Wilson. Shorter than me, believe it or not. Some people like that exist. Brother Wilson comes at me. And he came at me real churchy. He goes, he said, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I'm all right. Come at me. I come right at you. He tuned up. He said, Pastor, God told me to bless you. And I said, Brother Wilson, God told me to receive. My man pulled one $10 bill out of his wallet and said, in the name of Jesus. I took that $10 bill to my office and I gave the Lord a wave offering. I said, hey, God, what do I do with this? And after everyone left the sanctuary, everyone had left, I was there alone. I fell on the stairs, on the steps of the altar. And I said, oh, God, I need you. You're my last hope. And I heard God. He said, that's the problem. He said, up until this point, you've asked me to send you men and women to bless you. You never asked me to do it. You put your hope in family members and friends and parishioners. You asked me to send this one and that one, but you never asked me to be your solution. He said, Tony Suarez, I'm not your last hope. I am your only hope. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. I want to graduate you to expectant, confident faith that you know that when you come before the throne of God, he hears you, he answers you, and he will supply your every need, whether it's spiritual, financial, physical, or emotional. I want you to know that your prayer request doesn't fall on deaf ears. When it comes before the throne of God, he is willing, he is able, he is merciful. And I want you to know that as difficult as your petition might seem, it's not too hard for God. He will answer, he will provide, and that's a promise that you can take to the bank. Hallelujah. I just want to thank God today that there's no situation too hard for you. I met a pastor in Ohio last summer named Gary Cassis. Never met him before. He's written some books. Really, really encouraged my spirit. He said, Tony, have you ever considered when the scripture says that when you make your petition known to God that he hears us? I said, yeah, oh, that's a great promise. He said, have you ever considered what it really means? Don't you like those people that are so deep that they just see something you never seen before? And then when you see it, you're like, man, why didn't I see that? He said, what does that mean to you? I said, well, he hears. He said, think about it in a different perspective. He said, who's the judge of it all? I said, God. He said, and he hears you where? I said, in the courtroom of heaven. He said, when you take your petition to the Lord, you're taking it to both judge and jury. He said, imagine as if you were walking into court. And it's as if God is going to hear your case. He said, when the judge, when God makes his ruling is final. So if God heard your case and spoke healing, then healing it shall be. If God heard your case and spoke blessing, then blessing it shall be. I want you to know there's not a lawyer on earth that can overturn what Almighty God has already determined about your case. And I got good news. He has determined your case and he says, I got plans to prosper you. I got plans to bless you. I got plans to be good for you. So I want to graduate you from coming to the throne with fingers crossed to hands wide open, to know that he can supply your every need. Now, the declaration that we read in Matthew 32, 17, that same terminology is found in another portion of Scripture, but with different punctuation. See, Jeremiah says it with a period or an exclamation mark. There's nothing too hard for God. But there's another portion of Scripture where it's found with a question mark. Now, I know that doesn't exist in Covington, but in some of the other churches I preach at, there's question mark faith. Is anything too hard for God? Can God really heal? Can God really bless? I mean, I know what he does for this one and that one, but can he really do it for me? Now, I don't want you to feel bad, because the people that the question mark belongs to is Father Abraham and Mother Sarah. Genesis chapter 18, if you can go there with me. The Lord and his angels visit Abraham's home, which at that point was a tent. By the way, I appreciate you singing a tent revival song when a tent revivalist came to preach today. Worship leader, you're getting a bonus this week. Hallelujah. I just determined it. Hallelujah. In Genesis 18 and 10, it says one of them, but we know it's the Lord now, spoke to Abraham and said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Exclamation point. Your wife, Sarah, is gonna have a son. It's determined. It's established. God's given a word. And Sarah was listening to the conversation from the tent. This is what she's been praying for. She's been believing for. And apparently she had given up on because of her age and situation. She had, I guess in her mind, decided this is a petition of years ago that won't happen. Go to the next scripture. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. Sarah was long past the age of having children. Next scripture. So she laughed. How did she laugh? I've never seen this until about a few months ago, and it's really, I mean, like, whew, it's hit me. She laughed silently. I used to get in trouble in school because I was an instigator. I was too small to fight, but I knew how to pick a fight. Hallelujah. I knew how to get people fighting, and then while they're all getting in trouble, I'm in the back. Ha 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 ha. And so they would get suspended, but I'd get detention. Be like, and Mr. Suarez, you get detention for laughing. So I had to learn to laugh silently. I had to learn how to. I wore turtlenecks a lot because I just pull it up and cover it over, you know. Have you ever laughed silently? You know what I'm talking about? Where you have to, you almost have to excuse yourself. I'll be right back. But you got to laugh silently in front of the people. Not only did she laugh silently, but she talked to herself. She said, when she heard Sarah's going to have a child, she said, how could a worn out woman like me have a child? Especially when my boo is so old. God came with his angels telling me we're going to have a child. Has he looked at Abraham? That's what she says. She said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure when my man is so old? What my sister Sarah is saying is, I could if I wanted to. I just don't know if Abraham can. Have you looked at Abraham? He didn't even make it to the tent. Had to meet him outside. He got winded and couldn't even make it inside the tent. I could. I mean, I still got it. I just don't know about Abraham. He's so old. Sarah is making an excuse in case the word isn't fulfilled. She's making sure that there's a way to wiggle out of this because she doesn't just trust the word. And we do this as well. We'll get a promise, but we feel like we got to give the Lord an out. Well, I know you can bless, but not in my zip code. I know you can prosper, but not my family. Not with my education or lack of education. I know you can heal, but not my sickness. I know you can forgive, but not my sin. I'm too old. I messed up too much. I did this. I did that. We're giving God an out. God doesn't need your out. When God speaks a word, that thing is forever settled from the foundations of the earth. And when that word goes out, the Bible says it will not return void. So if he spoke a word of healing, that word's not coming back to God until you're healed in your body. If he said he's going to save your children, then that word's not going back to God till your children are back in the altar praising and worshiping. I want to encourage someone today. I want to graduate your faith. If you got a word from God, that word is in front of you right now, removing obstacles, slaying giants, and you're going to step into the fulfillment of the word. And I know it might seem difficult right now. There's nothing too hard for God. You need to put your focus on the right thing. I got to wrap this thing up. I'm coming to a close. Musicians, start cracking your knuckles because I'm going to land this airplane in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you how. You say, well, preacher, I want to believe. I want to trust. Well, you got to put your focus on the right thing. Sarah laughed. Put it back up there. If you can. She said, he's so old. And this is what I've never seen before. Next verse. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? But wait a second. How did she laugh? So that lets me know that God can even hear idle and silent lack of faith. Turns out that a lack of faith rings loudly in the courtroom of heaven. God heard the silent laugh. God hears a lack of faith. If faith moves mountains, then a lack of faith apparently builds mountains. God said, why did she laugh? Why does she question? Why does she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? And the Lord reestablishes his word. He says, you will have a child. See, Sarah's focus is on her condition. Sarah's focus is on her age. She's focusing on the wrong thing. Let me talk to the church for a minute. I believe everyone here is a part of the church, but if by chance you're just considering joining the church, let me speak specifically to the church. The church of 2023, 2024 is so focused on everything else and then God secondarily. We're so focused on situations and focused on politics and focused on the devil. Every time I turn on social media, I hear more about the devil than I do God. I'm just going to tell you, it rubs me wrong. We'll give 22 minutes to the devil and 30 seconds to God. And I don't think it pleases the Lord. We'll say, the disciples got into, disciples came home one day, book of Luke, and told the Lord, they said, hey, even devils are subject to us. And God said, yeah, I saw Satan fall like lightning. But don't rejoice that demons are subject to your name, to my name. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Stop focusing on devils. Stop focusing on the things of the earth. Put your focus on God. 2021, the Lord rebuked me. This is not a political statement. 2021, the Lord rebuked me. He said, tell my people I'm still a jealous God. And I hear them saying the name Joe and the name Donald a lot more than I hear them saying the name of Jesus. He said, you're going to need to remind them, Donald can't prosper them and Joe can't heal them. But behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I didn't say don't vote. I didn't say it doesn't matter. It matters. But you got to remember that you have a king, and that matters more than a president. This nation is putting all their hope in what happens in November. But I'm here to tell you that in the kingdom, we're not waiting on November to be blessed. We'll be blessed right now in the month of January because we're putting our hope in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't vote him out. He was never elected. In fact, the Bible says that the government is on his shoulders, and of that government, there shall be no end. I want you to know you don't have an elephant, you don't have a donkey on the throne. You have a lion, a lamb, and a dove, and of that government there shall be no end. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. He's the dove of peace, and his peace passes all understanding. And I want you to know that in the kingdom we're blessed at all times. I want you to know that in the kingdom we prosper at all times. I want you to know his promises have not run out. His blood has not run out. His power has not run out. And I don't care what you're going through, the same power that could give a baby to Abraham and Sarah 6,000 years ago is the same God and the same power that can bless you today, because there's nothing too hard for God. Would you praise him in this house? Would you stand with me as I come to a close? This is what I wrote in my notes. To kind of wrap this thing up. This word for this house is because I believe you're going to step into bigger things, bigger venues, things bigger than what you've been accustomed to, especially in these last few years. And the door might provoke a little consternation. The projects might make you say, have you considered this and that? But when that comes, I want you to remember that that crazy Latino Pentecostal preacher came here and reminded you there's nothing too hard for God. I believe the Lord, I believe that there's some extra zeros on some checks that you're going to write. And I believe there's some extra zeros on some checks that are going to come to you in this season. And your flesh is going to want to say, but aren't we allegedly in a recession? I've been hearing about a recession for 5 years. I thought it already came. Apparently they say it's still coming, but we don't worry about that in the kingdom, because we're not subject to man's economy. We're subject to God's economy. He said, I'll bless your coming in and I'll bless your coming out. I don't have to worry about what happens on Wall Street, because the streets of gold have already determined that I'm blessed at all times. So I believe that you're going to dream some dreams that are going to make you think that you're going crazy. Might scare you. You might say, oh Lord, ooh, I should have drank a little less Robitussin PM last night. But when that big vision, that big dream, that big opportunity comes your way, and you start automatically counting everything against you, I want you to remember January the 28th, 2024, when I stood in front of you and I said to you, nothing is too hard for God. Remember this word, because he's going to stretch you in this season. Growth is coming in this season, and you're going to be able to hold the fruit of your labor. You're going to be able to say, look what the Lord has done. And I'm here to tell you, nothing is too hard. I close with this story. We're getting ready at the end of March to have a tent revival along the southern border. You read about it in the news every day. Apparently, D.C. is not going to do anything. Last time they did something, I was in kindergarten and Ronald Reagan was the president. The answer, as far as I'm concerned, is Holy Ghost revival. So we're going to the southern border and we're putting up a tent in McAllen and El Paso, Texas. And we're going to preach to everyone. I don't care what language they speak. I don't care where nation they come from. I don't care if they're immigrant or border patrol. I'm going to preach the same Jesus to anyone and everyone that'll come to that tent. And so Let me inspire your faith. Now, Pastor Hoop is on our board. He knows what it costs to do those tent revivals. We're doing it razor thin in Texas, just trying to be very mindful of budgets and just, but we needed, I said past tense, needed, just so you don't get scared, think I'm about to take an offering. We needed $50,000 to be able to pull everything off with permits, all the things we need. Last Thursday, I was on a television program, and the host, his name's Gene Bailey, he said, "Tony, what do you need for those tents?" I said, "We need $50,000. He said, "All right, viewers, let's make it happen." Now, between you and me, that cynical person that lives on the inside of me that I got to keep burying said, "Well, hopefully something comes in. Hopefully." In 15 hours, we had $62,000. I've never seen anything like that before. I'm not telling you that story. I'm telling you that story because I believe that the Lord's going to challenge this church to do some stuff, and you're going to say, "Where's the money going to come from?" Your daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold and the silver is in his hand, and he's a good father. He'll share it with his children. And I just want you to know, I told you that story so that you'd have a modern point of reference, so that when the challenge comes, you'll say, "Hey God, if you did it for Tony, for those tent revivals, then I believe you're going to do it for me. I believe you're going to prosper. I believe you're going to bless." So I've been going to Texas a little more often, getting ready for those tent revivals. I was preaching in El Paso. I got to tell the story in 7 seconds. If there's grace, give me 2 more minutes. I know we got to baptize. There's a man I've met down there named Alex. Alex has become a good friend, partner of the ministry. And I was in El Paso, and he had written to me before I got to the meeting, and he said, "Suarez, man, I tore my Achilles. Doctor said it's going to be 6 to 9 months before I walk again." He said, "But don't worry, I told the doctor, it's not going to take that long. I have faith." And he said, the doctor said, "Oh, are you one of those evangelicals?" He said, I told him, "Worse, I'm a Pentecostal." He said, the doctor said, "I am a professional, and I'm telling you, 6 to 9 months. So when I went to preach the meeting, I told Alex, "I'll make sure to pray for you." Well, we got real busy in the first service, and he's on crutches, air cast, not trying to bring up any PTSD, Pastor, but I'm just saying. And I walked up to him and I said, "Alex, I know I said I was going to pray for you. We got a lot going on. I promise you tomorrow I'll pray for you." Don't you hate it when someone gives you a promise, says, "I'll do it tomorrow"? Why was that guy? I said, "I'll get to you tomorrow." I walk into the second night of the revival, and as I'm already at the podium, up walks Alex. No crutches, no cast. I said, "What happened?" So I interrupted the service. I said, "Alex, what happened?" He goes, "I don't know." He said, "All I know is I woke up this morning and I sat up in the bed and I stretched and I stood up and I started walking to the bathroom so I could go take a shower. And halfway between the bedroom and the shower, it occurred to me, I don't have my crutches and I don't have my cast on." He said, "Pastor, I forgot that I had torn my Achilles." I said, "You forgot?" He goes, "Watch this." And I'm a faith preacher, but I still get a little nervous. I'm like, whoa, hey, Alex, whoo, simmer down. Peace be with thee. Come on, whoo. I said, "Alex, I want you to go to the doctor." Not because I doubt the miracle. I just like it when the doctor has to say there's a miracle. So he went to the doctor and he walked in with nothing, and the doctor said, "Oh no, what are you doing?" Ordered an immediate MRI. MRI came back, no tear, nothing wrong. The doctor said, "This can't be." And he ordered a second MRI. And if you've ever gone to a doctor and you've ever had to have an MRI, you know that it's a miracle that the health insurance would authorize and pay for 2 MRIs on the same day. My man came back with 2 MRIs in the same day. No tear, nothing wrong. The doctor said, "I don't understand how this can be." "I do. Ooh. Pick me, doctor. Ask me. I know. I know how this can be. It's because there's nothing too hard for God. There's not a tear. There's not a break. There's not a bankruptcy. There's not a divorce. There's not a rebellion. There's not a sin. There's not a sickness. There's not a nation that God cannot heal and fix. For the last time, I want to tell you today, there's nothing too hard for God.